going to present on a recently completed scan of patient flow initiatives as part of a national improvement effort. I also wanted to say a special thanks again to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for funding our project, Urgent Matters. Urgent Matters is dedicated to finding, developing, and delivering strategies to improve patient flow and reduce ED crowding. And that started in 2002 with a 10-hospital collaborative, where hospitals implemented performance measures and used rapid cycle change to test strategies with ED throughput. Today I want to start off just by showing you some of the trends in ED use over the past decade, as well as the capacity within EDs in the United States. Then I'll talk about some recent studies that show the impact of crowding on quality of care. Then I'll talk about some of the domains of quality improvement that we defined in our National Scan of Improvement Initiatives. Lastly, I'll talk about the national policy landscape and give you some helpful resources. As you can see in this chart, the number of ED visits has dramatically risen, 18% in the past decade, while the number of EDs has declined, 12%. Consequently, approximately one-third of U.S. hospitals report going on ambulance diversion in a given year, and half report crowded conditions in the ED. In a recent survey by the American Hospital Association, 40% of hospital leaders viewed ED crowding as a symptom of workforce changes. And I'm sure in part that has to do with nursing turnover, as we heard in the last presentation. Crowding can increase the frequency of medical error and create other quality deficiencies. Here are three recent studies that were published in the Annals of Emergency Medicine, and these show how crowding is associated with poor quality of care. These studies were related to the publicly reported data in the Hospital Quality Alliance that you can look up on hospitalcompare.com. Crowding has been viewed at best as an inconvenience for patients who may be forced to wait hours to see a physician in the ED, and even longer to be admitted to an inpatient bed. It can also erode working conditions and workflows in the ED that are already susceptible to medical error. Patients frequently present to the ED with non-specific complaints, such as weakness or abdominal pain. This carries considerable clinical uncertainty and usually requires extensive tests. Add this to the chaotic and pressured conditions that accompany crowding, and we're faced with a workplace fraught with the potential for poor health outcomes. Here you can see that hospitals are working to address crowding and patient flow. Through our educational activities and our Urgent Matters project, we are frequently contacted by hospitals that have strategies on decreasing crowding. The issue is that there's no way to actually categorize these strategies or to really evaluate their effectiveness. Therefore, we tried to rationalize this picture and completed a national scan of flow initiatives. We found that these initiatives really fall into these four buckets or domains. There's performance measurement, demand forecasting, capacity management, and flow redesign. We found that this was a really helpful framework when you break down these strategies to their core goals. Performance measurement and demand forecasting focus more on assessment and may not lead to improvements if they are just implemented in isolation. But strategies to improve flow are generally most effective if you use some or all of these domains. The first domain I want to talk about is performance measurement. The measurement and assessment of the current state of a system and the effects of any interventions are central to any quality improvement project. Performance measures are perhaps the most elemental and yet essential of the four domains. For each domain, I'm going to kind of give you a definition, and then I'll give you an example of each, of a hospital implementing each. So this is an example of a hospital that used performance measurement to create an organization-wide dashboard. In attempts to reduce ED crowding, performance measurement has usually included the introduction and use of time-based measures, mostly in the ED. People look at time as opposed to health outcomes, such as duration of the ED visit, time from entry into the ED to seeing a physician. They also look at hospitals that go on ambulance diversion or bypass. The Lehigh Valley Hospital and Healthcare Network in Pennsylvania created a capacity dashboard that includes 10 performance measures. As you can see, three are volume indicators, and the other seven are patient flow or demand indicators. Lehigh Valley sets a monthly goal or target for each of these 10 performance measures. For example, the projected number of admissions or average length of stay. And they compare the target to the average actual numbers, and they can measure whether or not they met their monthly goal. The next quality improvement domain is demand forecasting. Effective workflow requires the ability to match key resources to demand. Changes in demand may be predicted, especially in the ED, which allows hospitals to anticipate periods of peak demand. Demand forecasting requires the analysis of historical trends, identification of key demand drivers that could also affect trends, such as the closure of a nearby hospital, and development of a forecast that is then tested against reality. With forecasting, hospitals can predict when they will need to adjust staffing and other resource levels to meet anticipated patient volumes. Without forecasting, they may often find themselves either unable to manage a peak workload, or at other times they might have more resources than they need. And here's an example of how a hospital uses this technique. Borrowing forecasting tools used by other service industries such as hotels and restaurants, LDS Hospital, which is in Utah, analyzed historical ED data to look more accurately match staffing patterns with the demand for ED services. LDS developed a patient tracking system and collected data on every emergency department visit for 1 year, which was approximately 40,000 visits. They reviewed average hourly census and patient arrivals in the ED, and staff also stratified the ED visits by a number of dimensions, including patient acuity and their chief complaint. Here you can see the chief complaint is chest pain by distribution in the hour of day. LDS ultimately learned that ED patient flow is predictable and that within any given 24-hour period, a similar pattern of patient arrivals and ED census emerges. Through forecasting, changes to staffing, and better ED information systems, crowding was significantly reduced at LDS Hospital. Another common domain is flow redesign. Many flow initiatives incorporate change in the actual processes and pathways by which patients move through the ED and throughout the hospital. These initiatives rely on process mapping and engaging staff to reduce redundancy and waits. Most often these changes are aimed at eliminating bottlenecks that have been identified by measuring specific performance indicators. And this is an example of a hospital that used flow redesign to ensure timely percutaneous coronary intervention, which is also known as PCI or angioplasty. Percutaneous coronary intervention is used to remove the blockages in arteries, and door-to-balloon time is commonly used as a measure. It is the time someone arrives at the hospital to the time a balloon expands in their artery to open a blockage. There's a lot of clinical evidence surrounding the timeliness of this intervention, and is now a publicly reported measure. Memorial Regional Hospital in Florida set a goal of achieving timely PCI for 100% of their eligible patients through their Code Heart initiative. As you can see, this held a variety of stakeholders accountable, and you can see the bottom half, department leaders were kind of accountable for each part of the flow process. The task force designed tools to track each step in the time to PCI process in both the ED and the cath lab. The analysis tools provided a means for documenting delays and bottlenecks and allowed the creation of an action plan to improve performance. And last but not least, the quality domain that I'll talk about is capacity management. These initiatives are conducted in recognition that overall hospital capacity, not ED capacity, has a direct effect on crowding and that initiatives to address crowding must involve all hospital departments. If a hospital's critical care units, other inpatient units, and diagnostic services are at saturation, admitted patients will be forced to remain in the ED, and all patients' throughput will be slowed. These initiatives are designed to provide hospital administrators and caregivers much better information on whether a hospital's care systems are approaching saturation, as well as to plan to functionally increase the hospital's capacity at times of high demand. You might have seen this before. It's part of the full capacity protocol used at Stony Brook University Hospital. The complete text of this protocol can be found at hospitaloverpowering.com. Stony Brook University Hospital confronted ED crowding in 1999 as a result of persistently low patient satisfaction scores. To address the impact of ED crowding on patients' experience, a continuous quality improvement steering committee implemented the full capacity protocol. Under the protocol, patients awaiting admission are transferred to acute care hallway beds on inpatient units when the ED is no longer available to evaluate and treat patients in a timely fashion. Ultimately, after implementation of the strategy, staff satisfaction has risen, ED patient satisfaction ratings have increased. They've gone up, I think, to the 80th percentile from the 20th percentile, and inpatient scores have remained unaffected. There is much momentum surrounding the need to address ED crowding and patient flow in hospitals and health systems. There is movement towards standardized performance measurement and attract timeliness and quality of care in the ED. Providers, government bodies, and accrediting organizations are responding to the issues in a variety of ways. Currently, we do not have standard performance measures in the ED, where other fields have already moved to publicly reported measures, such as cardiac care measures that are publicly reported on the Hospital Compare website. The Joint Commission created a standard in 2005 that you can see listed above on the slide that engages hospital leaders in the flow process. This was eventually watered down by the Joint Commission because of pushback from the hospital community. The ED Benchmarking Alliance, which is a group of concerned physicians that would like to focus on implementing performance measures and defining them for the ED, has gone one step further to create standard performance measures, and they are currently creating, circulating a consensus statement that they created to stakeholders in the field, such as government bodies and others in the research community. The CMS Oklahoma QIO created a technical assistance panel and is working on standardized performance measures and implementing them to test their effectiveness. Additionally, there is potential that these will turn into publicly reported measures as part of the Hospital Quality Alliance. If you're interested in more hospital strategies on managing ED crowding and patient flow, please go to our website at urgentmatters.org. We have several free reports on our homepage that you can download, and you can sign up for our free e-newsletter, as well as the ED Benchmarking Alliance consensus statement that I referred to. We have that on our website as well. And lastly, thank you again for attending this presentation, and I hope this information was helpful to the work you do any day, every day. Thank you. Any questions? We actually used 17 key performance indicators when we did the 10 hospital collaborative, and that was in 2002, and we did use Left Without Being Seen. There's also Left without being Treated. So there's different definitions, and that's part of what the Emergency Department Benchmarking Alliance is working on, is defining these things so that we can compare across the nation. And I know that the Oklahoma QIO, which is working, it's a government body working to kind of test these performance measures, is using that as one of their measures as well. And that might eventually become a publicly reported measure that hospitals will have to collect. Anything else? All right, thank you.